I don't know about you, but I receive a lot of invitations to go to various functions and places. And about a month ago, Darlene Schauer, who sings in the choir and also is a first choice camera woman, called me on the phone and she said, "Anne, would you please join me and let's go out and tour Brookwood Community." Brookwood Community is about 40 miles from here, located in Brookshire, Texas, and it's a vocational and residential facility for people, adults, who have disabilities. I was absolutely thrilled to death and accepted her invitation. We met here in the parking lot and off we went. Well, Brookshire is really known for, number one, its wonderful restaurant. Number two, it's known for its wonderful, wonderful gardens. And it's known for all the friendly, friendly people who are there. What's neat about it is the residents do the majority of the work. They work as wait staff in the restaurant. They go out and they work in the greenhouses. And they make all kinds of really beautiful things that they sell in their gift shop. While I was there, I bought one of the bread baskets that one of the residents made, and I already treasure it. They were so friendly, and when we got there, the tour actually started in the chapel. I was really glad that I was able to go to a place where I could see how they worked, how they lived, how they played, and how they worshiped. So we actually started off in the chapel, and the stained glass windows there are beautiful. I didn't know it, but a lot of people across Houston come there for their wedding venue. Right after that, we walked to the workshops. And every single time we opened a door, we were invited in by the residents. And they would say, "Come and look at what I am making." They were so busy painting Christmas stuff. Here it is, it's June, and they were painting Christmas stuff, which is literally shipped all over the world. They were absolutely proud of every single thing they made. One resident looked at Darlene and me and went, "Oh, you're from First Methodist Houston." We tune in and watch First Methodist all of the time. So there we were. We actually went to the chapel. We went to the workshops. We were invited in. And the very next place we went was where they play, and it was their swimming pool. I didn't know this, but it was designed by Schlitterbahn. Everybody can participate and go down the giant slide because they have an elevator that hoists up the wheelchairs. Then they help them out, and they're able to slide down into the waiting arms of one of the staff members. I kept thinking, I can just hear the squeals of joy as they all go down those slides. Then we moved out to the greenhouse. And in the greenhouse, once more, we were invited to come and see what they were doing. They were potting plants. Literally the healthiest plants I have ever seen in my life, so that they could go on sale. And then, last of all, we got to see where they live. Their actual rooms are neat and tidy. And I happened to look down at a table in the common area, and they were working on a puzzle. It was a beautiful landscape, and I thought, oh my gosh, at the end of the day, these wonderful people can come back to their room and work a puzzle as they begin to rest and relax. As I took that tour, I thought, this is one of the most balanced places I have ever seen. It's God-centered. It has something for work, something for play, something for rest, and something for worship. No wonder they're so happy. But in our scripture today, Jesus is talking to first century Jews, and he is telling them that he wants them to come to him because, see, life was not balanced for them. They had all of these laws coming at them, law after law after law. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, the fourth commandment, something that was supposed to bring them great joy and pleasure, was actually a burden. Not only did they have that commandment, but the Pharisees had added 29 layers of things underneath that as they tried to interpret what work meant. Under the 29 layers were sublayers. So you can imagine what their day of rest and relaxation must have been, because they were confused and they wanted to go to heaven. But they were afraid if they did not follow the Mosaic laws, 613 of them, plus all the laws, the little sub-laws, they just didn't know what was going to happen to them. So Jesus said to them something remarkable. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He summed up everything by saying, here's what you need to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine what they must have felt after having all these laws? And Jesus says, I've summed them up to two laws. I don't think we're much different than first century Jews, because we have a lot of stuff coming at us. We have daily invitations. We have invitations to do more, to look better, to feel better. We have invitations coming at us to buy more, keep up with technology, more technology. You go out and buy something and it's out of date and you have to get more technology. Not only that, we have other things that we're trying to deal with, like burdens and illness and elderly parents and situations in our own family. I could stand up here the rest of the time and just talk about what all is coming at us. You know, if we're not careful, that will emotionally drain us. It will play havoc with our relationships and cause us great, great pain. I want to tell you the story about Mike. Mike was a young man with a wife and children, and he actually wanted a better life. He wanted to move up in his company, and his boss had already said, Mike, you are promising. You can work your way up with some promotions. And he got very excited. That's a good thing when we want to work our way up and do more and achieve more. It was really the way he went about it. He decided that his family was just going to have to struggle for a while, and that when he was promoted, everything would be okay. They would have all this time to enjoy each other. So he didn't come home one night from work. And his wife didn't think anything about it. She knew that was going to happen, but it kept going on. And he didn't come home from work. So she finally just got out the old aluminum foil And she took his food, and she took the plate, and she wrapped the foil around the plate, and she put it in the oven, so that when he came home, all he had to do was open the oven and get it, which he did. He came home late at night, opened up the oven, and scarfed it down. After a while, she stopped setting a place for him. He would come home and he wouldn't even interact with her because he was so tired. All he did was fall right into bed. The kids would say, "Mom, where's Dad? What's going on?" And she would say, "I think this is temporary. Let's just be patient." But deep in her heart, she was beginning to feel like a single mom. Well, one day, Mike went into the break room, and a wonderful friend named Julie came up to him and said, "Mike, I hate to say this, you just look awful. What is going on in your life? When were you home with your children and your wife?" And he looked up and he goes, "I don't even remember when I was home with my wife and kids." And she said, "Mike, you really need to think about this. You don't look healthy. You're overworking." He just shook his head and went on back to his office. What she did was she went out and bought a devotional and laid it on his desk so that when he came in the next morning, he would have something to read. He was a Christian man. He just was not going to church. He was too busy, crazy busy. So this went on, and the place settings weren't there, fell into bed, totally tired. And one day, Julie walked up to him and said, "I'm going to be a little bold, and I'm going to say, do you want to lose your wife and family over getting promoted? Do you want to lose your health? I think you need to read your Bible, read those scriptures that'll feed your soul, and I think you need to make a decision." Mike knew she was right, and so later in the office, he took his phone and he downloaded the Bible app on it. And when nobody was looking, he would look up some scripture that Julie had given him and read it. And he actually went through the devotional that she had put on his desk. One night, super late, he was driving home and he was shaking from fatigue. And he just said this, "I can't do this anymore, Lord. It's going to kill me. I am going to hand it over to you, and I'm going to give my life to you, and whatever happens, happens. But I am going to trust you." The next night, he went home, and everybody was shocked. He sat down at the table, and there was no place setting for him. But he didn't let it bother him. He just talked to them. Their eyes were all huge, like, "Who is this person?" So every night that week, he came home on time with no place setting. The next night, he came home, and guess what? There was a fork and a knife and a spoon and a plate there for him. And everybody enjoyed talking and catching up. That weekend, he invited the whole family to a baseball game. They swam in a neighbor's pool, and he actually got up and took the kids to church. Well, he knew he was going to have to win their confidence back, so he worked very, very carefully. He even went up and tucked the children into bed with his wife, who by now was beginning to smile at him. He knew this question was going to come up from the kids, and it did. "Daddy, why are you spending so much time with us now?" And he knew he had to answer honestly. He said, "I wanted us to have a beautiful life, and I wanted to get ahead, but I did it the wrong way. A friend pointed out to me that you and Mommy are the most wonderful gifts I have ever received in my life. I've started reading my Bible, I've given my life back over to Jesus, and I want to tell you, we're going to be okay. That night, as he went up the stairs, he looked in the oldest son's bedroom and saw that the light was on. And the little boy had a flashlight and was under the covers. And he thought, oh no, what is he reading under the covers? And he went in and he tapped the little boy on the head and said, what you reading, buddy? The little boy pulled out a Bible and he said, Daddy, I'm reading the Bible. Any book that can bring my daddy home is a book I want to read. He was trying to put the pieces of his life together, and he was going about it all the wrong way. It's not bad that we want to go up the corporate ladder and have goals and achieve things. But what he didn't know is the human body is not designed to be on all the time. According to Tony Schwartz, who writes for the New York Times, he said, the importance of restoration is rooted in our physiology. Human beings aren't designed to expend energy continuously. Rather, we're meant to pulse back and forth between spending and recovering energy. We're supposed to go back and forth. We're supposed to have a balance. Well, I looked up something else. I looked up a Harvard study, and it said that people who are well-rested achieve more in quality and quantity than people who are not rested and harried all the time. The well-rested ones do much better in their jobs than the ones that are there continually. Isn't it interesting that Jesus still invites us to come to him when we are weary and are carrying a heavy burden? Did you happen to catch the first three words that Bill read in the scripture, or did you see them up on the screen? They were, come to me. That is an invitation. Remember I told you that I get a lot of Evites on my phone? So it's like getting an Evite in your email from Jesus. And Jesus is saying, would you come to me if you are tired and carrying a heavy load? At the bottom of the Evite, you can check, yes, Jesus, I want to come to you. Or no, Jesus, the timing is not right. I'm really too busy. I'm crazy busy, Jesus. I can't do it right now. Unfortunately, many of us would mark no. We would mark no. The timing's not right. I'm too busy. I'm really in control. You're okay, Jesus. I'm doing a great job. Don't worry about me. But one writer, and his name is Tim Kreiner, who wrote The Busy Trap, said, we use that as an excuse. It almost feels like a rite of passage. Oh, I'm too busy to do that. Oh, I am so busy at my job. I just can't do it. I'm way too busy. But he said, stop and think what that means. It could well mean that there is something down there that we don't want to face. And we could be addicted to busyness. The busier we are, the more we don't have to face the things that we don't want to face. Last week, the prophet Jeremiah begged the people, turn around, go down another path, find the ancient path. Don't you see what you're getting ready to do? And the people said, we're not going to listen. Isaiah said the same thing. He said to the people, go back to your God. I read in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, and this is when God was talking about their salvation. It really fits well with what we're talking about today. Your salvation requires that you turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. Now listen to this. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you're unwilling to do. Your strength is going to come from settling down and trusting Jesus, and yet that's the very thing we don't want to do. So if we don't respond to the Evite and we put no, or we don't respond, that Evite comes right back to your phone. It wants a response. The person who is inviting you is trying to figure out how many people are coming. It's the same with Jesus. He does not give up on us easily. As a matter of fact, he is relentless in trying to get us to come to him. And that's why Jesus added the second part of the scripture. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke? What is a yoke? You don't see these things around the city of Houston too often. But if you're in Haiti or Africa or Asia, it's just commonplace to see a yoke. So a yoke is actually what is put around two animals, and there's more than one kind of a yoke, so that they will work together in unison. They will pull a heavy load with a yoke around them. That happens to be, I think, a head yoke, different from the other one. But a yoke is also a metaphor for something oppressive, and it can mean you're yoked together in marriage or in a contract. What Jesus is trying to say to all of us today is, if you accept his invitation, he's going to invite you to put your neck in his yoke with him. And he's saying, it's going to be a great fit. If it's not a good fit, the animals get blisters on their neck and they can't work. But Jesus is saying, my yoke is just perfect for you. There's a legend that says that Jesus made the best oxen yokes in all of Galilee, and people would come from all over to purchase them from him. And just like businesses today, there were signs over the door. So over the carpenter shop, it would say, my yokes fit well. My yokes fit well. Jesus is saying, come to me. Let me carry your burdens. If you're overtired, if you're weak, I will do all of the pulling. I will take care of that for you. Just say yes and get in the yoke with me. So the yoke is absolutely so important. And Jesus is going to give us rest, meaningful rest, if we will allow ourselves to be yoked with him. I would like to think that all of us would say yes as Jesus calls us out with his invitation. But I know many of us won't. And I can tell you, I've been there. I've done that. I have the t-shirt. And I can tell you, I have overworked myself until I fall down flat. Pastors often say, well, the work of the church is never done. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep going. But that's not right. Everybody needs to stop and rest. I've seen the error of my ways, and I thank God for the Julies that have come to me and said, you better slow down. I think of the retreats that I have attended where everything was all about learning to slow down And I listened, but I went back home and got caught up in it again. Jesus is saying, you don't have to do that. Just come to me, let me yoke you, and you walk with me. There was a man that was driving down the road, and he saw a little bull and a big bull actually yoked together. And he goes, that's not fair to that little bull. And the man said, look again. Look again. They have them yoked so that the big bull will carry all of the weight. The little bull's just learning. He doesn't feel any pressure, any pain. He's learning. And Jesus is saying, come on, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you all about rest. I am gentle, I am kind, and I can give you the peace that you need. We're moving away from this sermon series. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of July revival. But perhaps you know somebody that needs to hear what we've been talking about all month. You can go online or to YouTube, and you can literally send the messages preached by all the pastors to somebody you know. You can be a Julie, and you can save a life. And if you're a Mike, well, I hope if you are a Mike that you will say yes and you will accept the invitation that Jesus offers. I just keep getting evites on my phone. I have one from my daughter-in-law inviting me to a grandson's birthday party. I have one from Jim Ryder, who used to be a pastor here, and he's inviting me to attend some kind of a seminar. And there's another one that just came in, and it's actually from Jesus. And it says right here, let me pull it up. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away. I'm going to help you recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. At the bottom, it says RSVP. You know what? I'm going to click yes. What about you? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for loving us and be willing to walk with us, even when we take three steps forward and two steps backward. You love us so much that you are offering to be our companion, to walk along beside us in all that we do. You are saying, I will carry the burden for you. Just come to me. We love you, Lord, and we want to change and take the Sabbath day and make it holy and learn how to rest, for it is good for our bodies, our minds, and our souls. We thank you for Jesus, who is totally relentless and is reaching out to us over and over again. And we thank you for the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.